Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Thank you very much. Okay, let's begin our study. So let's first of all talk about prayer. Judy Hintz, excuse me, Judy Hintz is not recovering well at all. And she is just under the flu, still tries to go to work, which is burdensome. And so we need to be in prayer for Judy. Otherwise, John said he's going to take her back to the doctor, and they talked about admitting her to the hospital last time. So she just is not getting completely over it. And so we need to be in prayer for her. Now, Bill and Pat Risley's daughter, Courtney, is pregnant, 27 weeks. And she was airlifted by chopper out of Mexico to Tucson, to the major hospital in Tucson. And she is having severe problems with the pregnancy. And she was in the hospital, seemed like it was about 3-4 days, but today she went, her and her husband went from the hospital to John and Judy's house, and they're staying in their guest bedroom and just at rest, flat. And so we need to be in prayer for Courtney. And the doctor thinks that in a couple of days she'll be able to go back to Sierra Vista, not back to Mexico, but to Sierra Vista. And but they, as it gets time for the delivery, whenever that may come, they want to have her back up in Tucson area, because it's very dangerous for her. Each day that they can just keep the baby in the womb and all, the better the chances of the baby making it. And so that's the severity that we're talking about here. So we need to be in prayer for Courtney, her husband and family, John, Judy, this whole area there. We need to be in prayer for all of them. And and I will try to keep you updated. I was just saying, I don't know how much you want to update it, but Courtney went out of the hospital today to John and Judy's and will stay there for X number of days, unknown number of days, and then go to Sierra Vista. Her and her husband are staying with John and Judy in their guest bedroom at this time. And Judy is under the gun. She's not recovering at all. She's doing very poorly, able to go to school, but not very good. So we need to be in prayer for Judy, need to be in prayer for Courtney, need to be in prayer for John, need to be in prayer for Courtney's husband and for the Risleys and the whole family at this time. So please be in prayer. Let's see. Now, as we come closer to home, do we have any prayer requests in regard to our home here? Okay. Just be in prayer for, yes.
We traced one of them before. They are related to Ron.
Yes.
They're sick, and they've been sick for several weeks, and they just cannot get rid of whatever it is.
Yeah. It's real bad in Tucson. It's real bad in Tucson, whatever it is. So, as are other things in Tucson right now. But, It's just amazing how overreaction America is going to do with the killings in Tucson. But Jesus Christ is in control, and that's where we have our peace and our rest. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer and orient ourselves to our study in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the ministry of the Holy Spirit inspiring John to record these things for us and then preserving this manuscript through history, and then for incorporating it in the divinely inspired Word of God, the Bible. But now, Heavenly Father, we pray for the illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit to illuminate for us the truth, the things that are going on, that we might be edified and strengthened by these things, Father. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I just tell you, I kind of regret getting where we're going in the Gospel of John. We're moving out of the study of the Holy Spirit and moving into the Lord's Prayer and then the crucifixion, trials and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I just have really enjoyed the whole study of the upper room, where he first started talking about the Holy Spirit in chapter 13, 14, 15, and going into 16 now. And it's really interesting. I was thinking about his working. Chapter 16, verse 1, "These things I have spoken to you," these doctrines, primarily dealing with the Holy Spirit, "so that you may be kept from stumbling." Now, and what's going to happen is the hatred of the world, the adversities, the problems that are going to come on them, and he doesn't sit there and give them a lot of all kinds of just idle encouragement. He zeroes in on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons that so many Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression, sad, in their life is because do not know how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, or do not do it. One or the other. Primarily do not know how to be filled with the Spirit. And this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So this is so vital to every aspect of our lives. And tonight we move into move beyond verse 13. And we left off last week with reading 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And now let's go back to chapter 16, verse 13. "But when he..." Now, the word "but" sets up the contrast between when they were incapable of grasping these things to their being able to understand these things. And, of course, this will be because by the sending of the Paraclete. "But when he," the Paraclete, "that is the Spirit of truth," so that what he reveals will be truth, "comes," day of Pentecost, "he will guide you into all truth." We are totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit to understand the Scriptures. "For he will not speak on his own initiative. He will reveal the mysteries of God and things of Jesus Christ, and things that Jesus Christ wanted to tell them," in verse 12, "but he wasn't able to. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose," reveal, "announce to you what is to come." Now, we're going to come back to that when we get to the next verse. So I'm just going to save any further word on that. But first, the Holy Spirit will teach new truths, things to come, things they cannot bear right now in reference to the old things they have been taught. And we have seen how he will bring the old things into remembrance in line with the new things that he will teach them. So he's going to take the old things that they know and they've been taught and learned from the rabbis before Jesus Christ, their time with Jesus Christ. Then he will come and empower them and bring to them new things, and they'll all just blend together and they'll be able to see the whole thing. So here is a challenge right here to our faith. "The righteous shall live by faith and not by sight." The Holy Spirit's going to reveal things to come. And while many of these things have not yet come, and by the way, just for those that may not know, Dr. Dwight Pentecost, just one of the best books, titled Things to Come. And it's about, oh my goodness, it's big enough to press your slacks with. But it is just one of the most complete books in dealing with history, the future. And Dr. Pentecost is just a wonderful professor at Dallas Seminary. wonderful encouragement of the students. And he's one of those kind of men that had no chip on his shoulder, nothing. He knew what he believed was true. And so he just, if you want it, fine. If you don't, fine. There it is. So, but he wrote a book and he titled it Things to Come. But anyway, the righteous shall live by faith. And while many of these things have not yet come, we believe that they will occur. We believe they are certain. So it's important to know, this is a little loud.
It is.
Yeah, it just went loud. That's what I thought.
It's been all loud all along right here.
Yeah, all of a sudden it went really loud. Okay. People, this is so important for us to know the past and know it correctly, for like in our Romans 4 study, to know the present and to know the future. Okay, we're taking a volume break here to work out the volume. All right. To know the past and the present and the future. To know the past, Scripture, and to know it correctly. We're going to see Sunday morning how a lot of people, maybe Jews included, they know about Abraham, but they don't know about Abraham. They don't understand that he became an unbeliever, or he became a believer while he was a Gentile, no law. And if they had thought that through, paid attention to what they knew, they're not thinking, as Paul said to the Galatians, you're not thinking. But had they been thinking through what they knew, it would have prevented problems. So it's important to know the past, but to know it correctly. And then if you know the past, you can deal with the present and yet have encouragement for the truth of the future. And we have a God who knows all these things. And in fact, this is essential to who is sufficient to be God, to know the past, the present, and the future. And they declare the things to come, that he will hear and he will declare the things to come. Now, it's been a while. But every now and then it's good to put it into a perspective and a context that maybe we haven't before. Look at Isaiah 44 a moment, please. Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44. Okay, Isaiah chapter 44, and let's look at verse 6. Isaiah 44, 6. Thus says the Lord. Now remember, Isaiah 40 through 60, if you can just grasp, there's a conversation going on in the invisible warfare between God and Satan. Back and forth. So, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order. From the time that I established the ancient nation, and let him declare to them the things that are coming. Satan, can you do that? No, you can't do that. You can't do that. And the events that are going to take place. You can't do that. But I am God, I can. Verse 8. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? Or is there any other rock? I know of none. Now, having read that, let's go back to chapter 41. Isaiah 41. And now we just want to look at two verses, 25 and 26. 25 and 26. I have aroused one from the north, and he has come. From the rising of the sun, he will call on my name. He will come upon rulers as upon mortar, even as the potter treads clay. who has declared this from the beginning, that we may know, or from former times, that we may say, He is right. Surely there was no one who declared, surely there was no one who proclaimed, surely there was no one who heard your words. In other words, God is the only one who does this. Look at chapter 43 now. Chapter 43. Let's first begin reading in verse 9 through 11. All the nations have gathered together so that the peoples may assemble. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us the former things? Satan can't even explain the former things. Let them present their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, It is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me, that you may know and believe things that I tell you, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed. Remember, Satan said, I am. I am the self-existing one. And there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord. And there is no Savior besides me. Now I want you to turn with me. Some we haven't added with this is Daniel. I want you to look at Daniel with me a moment. Daniel. I wanted to do Daniel during Revelation and just didn't do it. And somewhere we're going to have to go over Daniel maybe in our in the 9:30 service study. But anyway, Daniel chapter 2. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2. Now what we're going to look at in Daniel 2 is the first thing we're going to do is look at verse 22. Daniel 2, 22. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. We're in Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, verse 22. All right, I've started reading verse 23. Verse 22. It is He who reveals the profound and hidden things. Okay, this is what the Holy Spirit in John 16, things to come. It is He who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. Now let's go back and read from verse 20, 20 through 23. Daniel said, Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to Him. Wisdom is knowing the past, the present, the future. It is He who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is He who reveals the profound and hidden things, not Satan. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. For you have given me wisdom and power, things that belong to Him, He's given to Daniel. Even now, you have made me know to me what we requested of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter, the king's dream. Now, what does all of this lead to? Look at the response by Nebuchadnezzar in verse 47 of chapter 2. This is powerful. Verse 47, Daniel 2. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, answered Daniel and said, Surely your God is the God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries. See, that's a great challenge. Who can reveal the mysteries? All the way through the Bible. Who can reveal the mysteries? God says, I and only I can do this. Since you have been able to reveal this mystery. So, this is the point, people. Our God is the only God that can do this. We can trust Him. We can rest in Him. We can rest in things that we studied in Revelation. These things are going to happen. We can rest in things that are going to happen after we die. He's more than shown that He's capable of doing these things. Now, reflect on the book of Revelation with the statements that by the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide into truth and reveal things to come. Goes from God the Father. Well, let's just see if put it on here. How? And I plugged in. What is that one that you got there? Is that it? Yeah. Okay. That got unplugged. Anyway. All right. It goes from God the Father. Now, this is going to be very important in what's coming up, people. So watch what's happening here. From God the Father to Jesus Christ to the Holy Spirit to an angel to John. Now, just bear that in mind for what's coming up in the next verse, so it'll help you understand the next verse. Where would we be without the precious book of Revelation? It answers so many questions that we have. Just the future and the conflicts end and all of these things. So here we have the Spirit of truth. He will lead and guide into all truth. And of course we know the truth will set you free. So this is what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Now, we're dealing with the Bible. We're dealing with information that the Holy Spirit is going to guide us into in truth. This becomes very important historically. And you have to decide, and I have to decide, where we stand on all of this. In Revelation 22, Jesus Christ closes the canon of Scripture. The Holy Spirit, throughout the church age, guides into the truth of Scripture. But we have things that are going on through history, like the evil of the Mormons and the Mormon church. Not only do they have a perverted gospel, but people, they have a perverted and dangerous view of Scripture, of the Bible. They have prophets, superclass Mormons. And what you have to understand is that what these prophets say supersedes all past revelation. All past revelation. They do not just add something to Scripture. They say, this is said after this, and this nullifies what happened before, what is said before. So it doesn't matter what the gospel is presented in the Bible. The way that we say that you have to do it is the truth now. See? That's what they teach. In the Book of Mormons, given to Prophet Joseph Smith, one of our persistent and consistent listeners, Don Becker, went up to visit him in Missouri. And we got on out in, and we went about a mile and a half from his property, and there was this big plot of land, really well kept and everything, and this is where the angel talked to Joseph Smith. The angel Moroniah. And so he gave him the Book of the Mormons, and with the 13 articles and all of these things. And boy, they had them all plastered out there on big tablets like the Ten Commandments. And I loved number two. I loved number two. Give your money. Give your tithing. We need it. And it's of God that you do that. Got to get that in right away. But the point here is, people, get back to the serious aspect. that the future prophets, and by the way, they're elected by the church, not appointed by God. They're elected by the church. And a prophet, whatever a prophet says, supersedes previously. So this is how dangerous this gets in history, people, and how we have to make up our mind and understand that the canon of Scripture was completed, the book of Revelation, with the declarations by Jesus Christ, not by John, but by Jesus Christ himself. Now, how's the Holy Spirit going to do this? Well, let's take a look. The Holy Spirit is going to, first of all, he is going to teach. He is going to teach. Chapter 14, 26. Secondly, he is going to cause to remember. He's going to cause to remember. Chapter 14, verse 26. He will testify. Testify of Jesus Christ. Better put that in there. Of Jesus Christ. And that is 15:26. He will guide, for he will guide into all truth. 16:13. He will speak. He will speak. Chapter 16, verse 13. He will disclose. He will disclose things to come. Chapter 16, verses 13, 14, 15. Six different words for the communication, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in regard to the text. Now, first of all, he will teach. Let's take a quick look, because this is things that you and I have to be aware of. First of all, he will teach. Okay? This is a unique word all on its own. This is the word didasco. Didasco. And that's D-I-D-A-S-K-long-O. Didasco. Now, didasco means to teach, to instruct. And this word really emphasizes the part of the student to concentrate. Now, for us, what would that be? To listen with faith. To listen with faith. See? It's amazing how many people know the miracles of Jesus Christ and talk about them, but they know very little about the teaching ministry of Jesus Christ. But in fact, this was the primary function of Jesus Christ, was his teaching. And why not? He was rabbi, remember? He's called rabbi. What's the primary function of a rabbi? To teach. To teach. So, in fact, look at Matthew 11, 1, just for a moment. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1, I want to show you something rather interesting. Just I thought it was very interesting. Matthew 11. In verse 1, we have three different words for the communication by Jesus Christ. When Jesus had finished giving instruction to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. So we have giving instructions, and that means to arrange, to appoint, to make arrangements, things he wanted them to do. Teach, didasco, our word, and to preach. This is the word caruso. And caruso means to preach. It means to discharge the office of a herald. To proclaim a message. To give proclamation. And now we go back to John 16. But the general idea here of didasco, he will teach. Chapter 14, verse 26. John 14, 26. Didasco. And this is the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. But we got to know how to listen. Seven times in Revelation 2 and 3, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You have to listen to the hearing of faith. Doesn't mean you hear it means you have to hear. And Lewis Berry Chafer, I love the way he worded it, the Holy Spirit will always whisper loud enough for those who are listening to hear. So you're listening. He will teach you the scriptures. Not me, but the Holy Spirit. Then chapter 14, verse 26. He will bring to remembrance. Hupomenesco means to put into mind, to remember, to recall. Recall the things that he has taught. Not only the things that were spoken by Jesus Christ, people, but the meaning of these things. Not just remembering these things, but remembering the meaning of them. And this is very important. Look with me at the Gospel of John 2. Gospel of John 2. And let's read together verse 22. John 2, 22. Now, this is after Jesus Christ's ministry. So when he was raised from the dead, he, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. Now, it doesn't say the Holy Spirit here, does it? But we know from our study in the Gospel of John 15 that he will cause them to remember these things. Look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John 12, verse 16. These things that Jesus Christ was teaching, his disciples did not understand at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. They didn't understand it. Now, when he was glorified, what's the importance of that statement? Can the Holy Spirit come before he's glorified? No. He has to be glorified before the Holy Spirit can come. So it's another way of looking at the ministry of the coming of the Holy Spirit. See? Now compare this with Luke. Let's look at Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And let's look at the important verses 44 and 45. Luke 9, 44 and 45. Let these words sink into your ears. I love that. For the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. But they did not understand this statement, and it was concealed from them so that they would not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this statement. But once the Holy Spirit comes, they'll recall, put it all together, and have a clear understanding of what's going on. Look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Let's read verses 31 through 34 together. 31. Then he, Jesus Christ, took the 12 aside and said to them, Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and all things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. And the third day, he will rise again. Look at verse 34. But the disciples, understood none of these things. And the meaning of this statement was hidden from them. And they did not comprehend these things that were said to them. Till the Holy Spirit comes. Then they'll have it all figured out. Look at chapter 24, Luke 24. Well, they weren't thinking that it was going to happen to him. They've had him being the king or ushering his kingdom and all of that. They just were not within the same train of thought that he was in. All right, look at Luke 24. And let's read verses 6 through 8. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Now there's no mention of the Holy Spirit here. But we know from the Gospel of John chapter 14 and verse 16 and chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance these things and start putting it together. Not just the memory, but being able to understand what he was saying. That's how important the Holy Spirit is, people. That's how vital he is to us. Okay. Then it says in chapter 15, verse 26, he will testify about me. Martureo. Martureo means to witness, to bear witness, to testify. It's often with intensity, to affirm, to confirm the truth, to make a solemn declaration about something or someone, to make an emphatic affirmation about something. I bear witness. This is what's going to happen. This is about the Son of God. He will also guide. Chapter 16. Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 13, he will guide, or to gao, we spend time on this, to lead one upon a journey. But people must be willing to follow, must want to follow. Keep a close eye on him. Stay in the text. Let him guide you through the text. Then in chapter 16, verse 13, he will speak, laleo. I'm just going to ask a question, play poker, don't answer me. Do you believe the Holy Spirit speaks to you? Now, do you hear an audible voice? No, if you do, don't tell anybody. We'll have somebody come lock you up. But do you believe the Holy Spirit speaks? I do. I believe he speaks to me when I sit down and study. Sometimes I just have to get up and walk around the house. I just can't believe it. What I just... Wow! That didn't come from me. That didn't come from my intellect. It's the Holy Spirit opening up what was going on. So we must be willing to be guided. He will speak. 16:13. Laleo. To the intellectual part of man. To understanding. And then we studied last week, he will disclose, anagalo, where we get the word angel, to tell, to declare, to announce, to make known, revealing the mysteries. This is why staying constantly in the Bible, in Revelation, in prophecy, is pertinent to the glory of Jesus Christ. We walk in his love, loving as he loved, keep our eyes fixed on him, and looking for his return. People, now, if we do this, if we walk in his love, if we love as he loved, keep our eyes fixed on him, looking for his return, how can we become heavy laden with things on this earth? How can we become stress, anxiety, depression over the things on this earth if we do those things? Walk in his love, love as he loved, keep our eyes fixed on him, looking for his return. All these give glory to Jesus Christ, and all of these are done and accomplished by the filling of the Spirit. I didn't get married so my wife could tell me when I'm not in the filling of the Spirit. I know when I'm not. There are so many flags that go on inside of us when we're not in the filling of the Spirit. I'm not in His love. I'm not loving as He loved. My eyes aren't fixed on Him. They're fixed on the problems of life. And I'm not looking for His return. We do these things, people. It solves these problems. Okay. Verse 14. He shall glorify me. Let's look now at John 16:14, the next verse. This is going to get a little tricky now. He will glorify me, for, or in this manner, he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. What in the world does that mean? Well, let's just walk through it. One way we glorify Jesus Christ is to witness of Him to the world. Chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. To make Jesus Christ known to someone is to glorify Him. Okay, let's see what we have here. He, that's the Paraclete, the Spirit of Truth, Spirit of Life, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, Jesus Christ. Now what is interesting here, just for you and I in Bible study class, what is important here to me is the two pronouns. And they follow one another. You want a really, just a straight translation of this? It's He, me. That's exactly what you have in the Greek. He, me, will glorify. And it's beautiful. Yeah. Just He, me, will glorify. I love the way it is in the Greek here, and both of these pronouns are emphatic. It's that one, just me, will glorify. Give it that emphatic concept that we have with the pronouns. They're emphatic pronouns, not just pronouns. They're emphatic pronouns. So that one, just me. The best way I know how to make me emphatic is just me will glorify. Well, I just thought I'd share it with you because it's just so in the Greek, it's just so powerful when you read them. Me, you know, he, me, boom, will glorify. All right. They're different, but similar. He, me, different, but similar. Both are deity, both sent by the Father. And then we have the future active indicative of doxazo. D-O-X-A-Z-O, doxazo, from the noun doxa, glory, doxology, doxa, which is glory, to glorify. Now what does that mean? Well, it means to recognize, to honor, to praise, to exalt, to ascribe glory or honor. And what is interesting is there are so many different ways of glorifying God, glorifying Jesus Christ, glorifying them. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ just as Jesus Christ glorified the Father. And one way Jesus Christ glorified the Father was by revealing Him. Look at the Gospel of John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. Jesus Christ came to glorify the Father. How did He glorify the Father? By revealing Him. Chapter 1 verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. He is spirit. Can't see Him. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. Now the King James says, He hath declared Him. The NIV says, He hath made him known. The New American Standard, he has explained. Now this all comes from the aorist middle indicative of ekgenomai. It's a compound ek out and hegenomai means to tell. It means to bring, to lead out, to declare openly, to unfold. I'm just reading out of lexicons. To reveal, to make known. Therefore, these three translations of this word, declare, make known, explain, the real but invisible God. You can't see him, so I'm going to reveal him. I'm going to explain to him. I'm going to make him known. Now, these two, I think, the NIV is close to make known, because if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. To explain would be more by the teachings of Jesus Christ, but this I don't think is really just dealing with the teaching. Just dealing, there he is. You see and know Jesus Christ, you see and know God the Father. So this is what we have. And chapter 1:18, we have the purpose. We have the purpose of the eternal Logos. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Logos. So the incarnation of the eternal Logos is, and this isn't mine, it's out of a lexicon, to be a visible revelation of an invisible God. Let me repeat that. I think that's powerful. To be a visible revelation of the invisible God. It's out of a lexicon, so it's not mine, but I just think it's so powerful. To be a visible revelation, Jesus Christ is a visible revelation of the invisible God. God is invisible to human eyes, yet it is characteristic of man to what? To desire to see God. Moses wanted to see God. It's our nature to want to see God. See Jesus Christ. Much less God, just like see Jesus Christ. I still don't like pictures that portray him. I just don't. Don't know. I don't want that messing up the idea. John says in 1 John, does not know what he looks like, but when he appears, we'll be just like him. So we'll be able to see him as he is. So this is a desire of man to want to see God. And this introduces several points. Point one, this is one of the reasons for idolatry. It's one of the primary fundamental reasons for idolatry. To make idols so that man could see their God. And of course, they always made God lower than man in some animal form. You ever notice that through history? Man makes an idol, it's always some kind of animal or part animal, part man. Something lower than man. That's their God. That's their idol. But the ideal is, now we can see him, see? We can see him. Point two. This is one of the reasons why so many people reject the being of God. Hey, I'm a wise person. If you can't see him, he doesn't exist. See? If I cannot see him, and of course I'm very wise, so I cannot see him, then he does not exist. So, this desire to want to see God leads to idolatry. The desire to want to see God leads to rejection. And three, this is one reason why so many people doubt the being of God. They cannot see or even see the evidence of him. I don't know if he does or not. And point four, this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Isn't that beautiful? This is why we walk by faith, not by sight. If you can prove something, no longer requires faith. Can I prove that Jesus Christ died bearing the judgment and sins of the world? No. Can I prove that he rose from the dead? No. I can prove it wouldn't be by faith. So, is there a God? Can't see him, but I believe. Walk by faith, not by sight. And finally, point five. It is the nature of God, being loving, merciful to reveal himself. And he did so through the incarnation of his Son. That's what kind of God we have. Okay, I'm invisible. You want to see me? Okay. And he sent his Son. If you have seen me, Jesus Christ said in John 14 to the disciples, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Why do you ask? Because if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the very purpose of the incarnation of the eternal Logos was to reveal and make known the invisible God. This is what he does for us. Yet there's another way of glorifying God the Father. Another way. Look at John 17. John 17, verse 4. One is by declaring him, John 1. Now another way is John 17, 4. I glorified thee, Jesus Christ, glorified thee, Father, on the earth. The earth is the place of the battle. It amazes me, just for interest, real quick. People are always, well, what's out there? Well, you can't get all just here. Man, there are other universes out there, and there are other planets, and there are other creatures. And what does it matter? Here's where the battle that you're in is. Stay here. And don't be distracted by that kind of stuff trying to get you off track. Don't try to explain all that away. It's like talking to somebody starving to death. Well, over in America, they just throw food away in the garbage. Hey, don't talk to me about that. I'm here. We're here. This is the earth as a place. I glorified thee on the earth, the place of the battle. Now, having, the participle here defines the glorification. How he glorified him. Having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. As we will see when we come to chapter 17, all that is included in the work that God the Father gave the Son. One, to reveal the Father. Two, to redeem all mankind to God the Father. So, this is all included in the work. And by the way, understanding the all importance of the glorification of the Father will help in understanding some of the passages on prayer. People still led astray on the understanding of prayer. Look back at chapter 14 a moment. John 14 a moment, just very quickly. Let's be sure we get it down in context of where we are now. 14, verse 13 and 14. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that he, the Father, may be glorified in the Son. Okay, people, you can't just ask God for something and he said, I'm going to do it. Does what you ask glorify God the Father? Oh, yeah, he lets me win the lottery. I'll give the money to the church and he'll be glorified. No, don't con God. It don't work that way. It's what you're asking, giving glory to God the Father. Now, for chapter 16, Jesus Christ is going to depart from the earth. He's going to return to the Father. The earth will not see him. So Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit to reveal him, Jesus Christ, to glorify him, that is, to make him known among men. How do we know Jesus Christ? We know him through the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's through this book, but through the revealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Got to believe in it like a child faith. Not with some great deal of understanding. I was just a young little lad. Hardly 7 years age. Psht. New scriptures. Talking about God, Jesus Christ, I believed it. Period. It's that simple. It's what the Holy Spirit came to do. Reveal Jesus Christ to those who will listen. He will do it through his word. He'll do it through you loving as Christ loved, by the way. Okay, let's look at our passage now. He, that one, me shall glorify. For he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. Oh boy, what is all of this? Okay. We have to identify he, mine, it, you. He shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. We understand these. Makes perfect sense. Now, I hate that we're right at the edge here. I'd like to just stop, but I'm just going to go ahead so that you have this. You can be thinking about it. I'm just going to help you identify all that's going on here. He, Holy Spirit. Mine, doctrines pertaining to Jesus Christ. Teachings pertaining to Jesus Christ. It, doctrines pertaining to Jesus Christ. You, believers, the disciples, and believers throughout the church age. So let's see if we can just make it very simple for you. For the Holy Spirit will take declarations of me, and he, the Holy Spirit, shall disclose these declarations of me to you, the believer. Any questions? I mean, does that make sense? The high flows there? That's all that's going on here. But first we have to note the conjunction translated for. I think I was going to make it that easy for you, did you? Gotta take a look at the conjunction translated for. Because this introduces how that one, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, Jesus Christ. For. The conjunction, the Greek conjunction is hate. And it is used to introduce how the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ. He, that one, shall take. Okay, here we have the future middle indicative of lambano. L-A-M-B-A-N-O, lambano. Means to take in various manners or context. Please note the phrase in verse 15. Note the phrase in verse 15. He takes of mine. This is the same verb as in verse 14. For some reason, the King James translation of the verb in verse 14, he receives, and in verse 15, he takes. The New American Standard and the NIV are more consistent. He takes in both of them. They're consistent. Now, the NIV translates it as a participle, but which is incorrect. But and the verb means to take. The Holy Spirit is an active participant. He's not just receiving, he is taking. He shall take of mine, and he, the Holy Spirit, shall disclose. Same verb in verse 13. Anagelo, to tell, to declare, to announce, to make known. He shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. Okay? Let's see if we can close here with two levels of this understanding. First, he will disclose what is to come. He will disclose what is to come. Two, he shall glorify me by disclosing what is to come. Three, because he will take that information that he will disclose from me, about me, he shall take of me, truths belonging to me, truths about me. And in four, he shall disclose this truth that belongs to me, to you. He shall take, so let's just read and see if this flows now. He shall take of truth that belongs to me. It's about me and belongs to me. And he, the Holy Spirit, shall disclose this truth about me that belongs to me to you. And in so doing, he glorifies me. Now, another simple way, a fun way, not in context, but just to share it with you. Another way is understanding this from our study of the Good Samaritan. how the good Samaritan mended the man beaten on the road and then turned the man over to the innkeeper. The good Samaritan, Jesus Christ, the beaten man, the believer, the believers of the church age, the innkeeper, the Holy Spirit. Now, see how this works for you. See? The innkeeper actively taking the man and actively taking care of him. So, let's see how this would flow. He, the innkeeper, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, Jesus Christ. How shall he glorify Jesus Christ? Shall take of mine what belongs to Jesus Christ. This is all the believers of the church age, whom God the Father has given to him. See? Shall take of them, taking charge of them, to take care of them. And he, the Holy Spirit, shall disclose to you the man beaten on the road, every believer of the church age, disclosing the things to come, take care of him, disclosing things throughout the church age. But in context, just a fun way, in context, it's dealing with the truth of Scripture. So let's take a look in closing. Verse 14. He, me, shall glorify. For in this way he shall glorify me. He shall take the truth that is of mine about me and disclose it to you. Now, I can't let you go without seeing its relationship with verse 13. Look at verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative. Ah, now that starts to make sense. He's only going to speak of the things that belong to Jesus Christ. He shall not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, that's from me, about me, and things he gives me, he will speak. And he will disclose it to you what is to come. He, me, shall glorify, for he'll take of mine, that's what he's going to disclose, not things from his own initiative, but things that are mine, and declare it to you. Now, we don't have time, but Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. What do we have in Revelation 21? We have information that belongs to God. Well, let's close. Let's look at it. I want you to see this. It's important in understanding what's going on here in John. So look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. Do you see it? God gave this information to Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means this information is mine. It belongs to me, Jesus Christ. And he, the Holy Spirit, will take what is of mine, revelation that God the Father has given me, and disclose it to you. Okay, does this make sense now, what's happening in this simple verse? A lot of people get very confused. Isn't that confusing? If we understand, it started with God the Father. He gave the information to Jesus Christ. It now belongs to Jesus Christ. It's mine. He, the Holy Spirit, take what's mine, revelation about myself, and disclose it to you. And in so doing, he glorifies me. And I glorify the Father. See? This is so beautiful. What's going on here in all of these, this beautiful passage. Okay, let's close in a word prayer. Wow. The Trinity, the Godhead, the mystery. And yet Heavenly Father is so consistent. So brilliantly consistent. Function of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The glorification of the Son, the glorification of you. Father, we just thank you for sharing these things with us, letting us see what's going on. Give us that confidence assurance of the truth. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father, for being a God who was so understanding and so loving, you revealed yourself to us by sending us your Son, by sending us your Spirit to glorify your Son, who in turn glorifies you. So, Father, we learn about you. We learn of Jesus Christ, we learn about you. When we love as Jesus Christ loved, we love as you loved. He came to bring us to you. Father, we praise you, we thank you, and we pray, Father, your Spirit will just continue escorting us through this journey. Just having your Spirit continue to guide us each step of the way, each passage, each adventure in the Bible. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.